46. Molly didn't think now, didn't fall back on procedure, just reacted, yelled, "Police!" and fired a warning shot on the run that splintered wood underneath the front porch railing before she heard a door slam from somewhere behind the house. She ran in that direction and saw the shape of a man running away from her across the small backyard. "Stop or I'll shoot!" Molly yelled. The man turned and fired in her direction, and Molly heard the bullet hit a tree behind her. She returned fire as she came along the side of the house and thought she might have hit him. Hadn't. Then saw him dropping to the ground suddenly and rolling and coming up into a kneeling position and getting off another shot. Molly felt the sudden searing pain near her left shoulder then. She had been hit and started to go down, but didn't. Instead, she stepped out from the house, two hands on the Glock, aiming low because he was still kneeling, and fired the way she had been taught at all the hours at the range. The bullet hitting him sent her mass. "Someday," Jesse had told her once when he went to the range with her, "this shit will get real." The shooter went down and stayed down, motionless. Molly felt faint because of the pain in her upper arm, but she made her way with great caution across the yard. There was only the sound of night birds around her now that the shooting had stopped. The man was on his back, the cap with a shamrock on the front turned sideways on his head, some kind of long gun on the ground next to him, not breathing, eyes open, staring up at what there was of a moon. Molly knew she might be in shock, but knew she couldn't afford that right now, that she had to power through, despite the fact that the fingers of her left hand were starting to go numb. She checked the pulse of the man in the shamrock cap to make sure, saw the spreading wound in the middle of his chest, but no pulse, nothing. She had shot a man dead. She didn't bother to close his eyes. She would come back for an ID later. For now, she ran back around the house and through the front door, left arm flapping at her side. Kept her gun in her hand as she went inside and found Blair Richmond lying on her back, her head in its own spreading pool of blood, an exit wound over her left eye. Molly knelt next to her, feeling as if she were kneeling in prayer, and felt her neck. I was too late. But somehow Blair Richmond was still alive. She took out her phone and prayed this time to God for enough bars, saw that there were, called 911 and said this was Deputy Chief Molly Crane of the Paradise Police Department, and that there were gunshot victims at 10 Reservoir Road in Oxbow, one of them still alive but needing an ambulance, and right now. Molly didn't include herself in the number of victims. She didn't consider herself one. She sat on the floor next to Blair Richmond, afraid to move her, afraid to look at her. Molly pulled up the sleeve of the black Bruin sweatshirt and saw that despite the fact that the blood had soaked through and made the sleeve wet and sticky, it was just a flesh wound. Just a flesh wound. Sure. Like it happened to her all the time. She went into the kitchen and finally turned on a light in the house and found a dish towel and pressed it against the wound and then went back into the living room and sat down next to Blair and begged her not to die.